following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hello, welcome to New Life Live. I've got a ringing in my ear. Oh, I know what it is. It's all the phone calls that are coming in. That is awesome. Hi, I'm Brian Perez. I'm here with Dr. Jim Burns. He's a parenting expert and the founder of Homeward. Dr. Jill Hubbard is here too. She's a clinical psychologist. And guys, great to be on with you again today. Dr. Jill, what's on your mind to start us off?
Well, hi everyone. Hello. Good to be with you again. Okay, so I've been thinking about some things prior to knowing that I was going to be on with you, Jim. So I might need a little bit of your help, but I wanted to talk about what I call parental PTSD. And this is about parents. And first of all, we're not dismissing what children go through or a child's perspective. Yeah. And I'm also not talking about parents like in my book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, where those parents probably should not have been parents. I'm talking about decent parents that have reactions to the traumas, the life experiences, the incidents that their kids go through. And that at times, how you can have kind of a parental freak out where it feels like your nervous system just gets hijacked. You go into, and in Jim's book, okay, When Your Adult Child Strays, has some good input, but you can go into that catastrophizing, you call it awfulizing, overgeneralizing, overthinking, the rumination, that just kind of takes you offline. And there's so many things that, can cause that. I think of just even physical illnesses. I remember when my son was 16, he went through a major surgery. It was a top five pain surgery. And I had to be in the hospital with him for a week. We came home with narcotics in his back. I had him in bed with me for a month, propped up. And so, and it was a long, long ordeal. And so it was like having a 16-year-old that then suddenly became an 8-year-old. Right. And so that feeling of his vulnerability at times would come back to me. I think of the parents with the kids in Ladera Ranch and the cancers that are coming up, or a kid with mental illness, right? When you don't feel like your kid is fully launched and they are struggling, or they go through friend rejections or radical ideology. I mean, there's some extreme situations. Yeah. Mothers of killers, how would you like that? Oh. Right? Or as they get older, the possibility of marrying someone who isolates them, the estrangements, all these things, I think, do a number on parents. Right? You raise your kids, you want ongoing relationship with them. And then there are these things. And when you get caught in your own parental PTSD freak out, like I said, it hijacks your nervous system and it actually impedes your relationship with your kids. Yeah. And so some of the things that we all as parents have fears about, I want my kid to be a Christian. I want them to lean into the Lord. I think we have to ask ourselves a few things. First of all, when have you had these similar feelings in life prior to having kids? Because a lot of times what happens with our kids at different ages and into adulthood, it stirs up our own unresolved grief and issues from past. So it's really important to do that, to look at that. And to, you know, and those would be the feelings of powerlessness and feeling out of control, not being able to control the outcomes. And so, again, if you're wanting things from your kids, you have to also ask yourself, are you doing that too? You want them to lean into the Lord. Okay, are you leaning into the Lord? You need to, in a sense, practice what you preach. Right? And gather people around you that can support you, that you can talk out your fears with, so that you don't put them onto your kids.
Good stuff. To begin today's episode of New Life Live, we'll go to the phones when we return.
My husband recently attended Every Man's Battle, and I just want to give a hearty endorsement to that program. Going into something like this, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of isolation. What he shared with me in terms of how your facilitators talked to the men, how there was a sense of honesty I don't know that he's ever experienced. He returned a hopeful man, and my heart is full. I would encourage gentleness in the way you encourage your husband to bring something into the light, into a situation where people are encouraging and giving you the tools and pointing you to the Lord in a way that is so specific to this particular battle.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas August 7th through the 9th. Visit newlife.com to find out more. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Before we go on, I got to remind you guys that today is the last day to get the early bird pricing on the Hope Together Conference. Here at New Life Live, we often remind you that staying equipped and encouraged is essential when you're caring for others. One opportunity this fall is the Hope Together Conference in the Dallas area. 3 days of biblically based training and practical tools for counselors, coaches, pastors, and lay leaders. You can learn more about the conference at hopetogether.com. As a New Life listener, you have a special discount available when you register. That code is NLM20. You'll save 20% on general conference registration. Early bird pricing ends today, so don't wait. HopeTogether.com, and the code again is NLM20. To the phones now, here is Cindy in Orlando, Florida, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131. Welcome, Cindy. Thanks for calling in today.
Hi there. Thank you so much. So my question is kind of in depth. I've been in a relationship for 5.5 years. I sold my home back in 2024 because me and my fiancé were going to build our own home. So as the home was being built, I temporarily moved into his home. Our home got destroyed with Hurricane Milton. Wrap it up. The house got destroyed. I was putting the money up front to build a new home, and he was going to come on the back end when he sold his home. Well, that all fell into the drain. We kind of stopped looking at new homes because we're just homes in general, and then we started fighting a lot. I feel like it was just enhanced, like he was just nitpicking about everything. And I kept praying for signs, and, you know, things would settle down. Now, we're talking about, you know, getting another house. So I found a beautiful home, and I told him, you know, I really like this house. So he went to look at it with his father and my mother. He was on board. So I put the money down on this house, you know, to start building this new home. Of course, I'm putting the money down again on this home. And the good thing is that this builder, I'm not going to risk anything. I can get the money back. The thing, my question is, he was always telling me we were going to get married, you know, and I always said, oh, well, are we going to do a prenup? Because my father has a business that we're going to be inheriting, so it's in a trust. So I said, well, you know, I would like to do a prenup. But he was against a prenup. When we first met, we had all these, like, things, and he's like, no, I'm against that. So I said, okay, so then I just agreed, okay, we're not going to do a prenup. Now, he's telling me that he's not going to buy a home with me unless he's married, and we're going to do a prenup. So I said, that's perfectly fine, but we are going to get married, or I'm not going to move forward with purchasing this home with you, and you just need to get off of it, and I'll do it on my own. So I'm at a crossroad. I gave money 3 weeks ago to this builder. He's telling me now that he talked to his parents, and his mother's saying, oh, no, do the prenup. But really, why do you have to get married in your 50s? And I'm thinking to myself, that was the whole reason why I sold my house was to start a life with you. So I'm so upset because, you know, here I am, gave up my home, and I feel like he's just playing me like for a fool again, and I don't know what to do. I mean, I can get my money back, but I just don't know if I should just get the home on my own and just move on with it, because I do love him, but I just don't know why there's always like this issue with us, or issue with him, because he's like, oh, I don't know if I want to marry him. I'm like, well, you should know by now after 6 years being with me.
Yeah.
unless you have another agenda. So I just don't know if I'm being an idiot or what's going on.
Dr. Jim?
I think it's a perfect illustration, Cindy, of making sure you get good counsel on this. Because, and again, the counsel sometimes can come from family, but a lot of times what you want is somebody who, you know, a marriage and relationship counselor. The reason is that, you know, a lot of times women look at living together differently than men do, frankly. And you want to make sure that, you know, you use the word getting played. I hope that's not the case, but you've been in a relationship for long enough that you should, as a couple, know if you're going to get married or not. And, and you know, it's interesting because home today, you know, back in the 1970s, way back then, 75% of people said they would not live with someone before instead of marriage. And today, 75% said that they would. So the world has changed that way. I don't think God's word has changed, but I think the world has changed. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes that's when couples come to this crisis that you're coming to because of the living together aspect. You know, he's just comfortable, you know, how it is, and you want something more. If that's your heart's desire, then I would get the counseling to see if maybe this is something that, as you say, move on. It's going to be painful one way or the other. So it's going to be painful if you leave, and it's going to be painful if you stay if it's not the way you hope it is. And I'm not saying any relationship is, there's not pain. And you know, I've been married 50 years and there's pain in it and beauty. But the point I'm saying is I would make sure that you get the right counsel. Even, you know, one of the things that I live in the world of kind of preparing for marriage, getting ready for marriage, things like that. 31% of marriages that get good marriage, premarital counseling and education, 31% of those do better in their marriage if they get that premarital counseling. That's unbelievable. That's amazing. So make sure that you get the right counseling on this, because you want some people speaking into your life who know the story. Because to me, you just gave me about three yellow flags, and you didn't give a red flag, but you gave me three yellow flags. And with yellow flags, that means we got to work these things through.
Well, there are some red flags that I've ignored because he cannot really communicate with me. When I start talking to him about adult issues, in reality, he starts raising his voice and he like has a tantrum. So I'm like, okay, well, this is not normal with a grown 53-year-old man. Because I have a 30-year-old son who's married and does not act like that with his wife. And I just don't understand. And I don't know if there's a personality issue or maybe he's just manipulating me. And I don't want to say that about him, but I just don't know anymore. Like, you should know after 5.5 years of being an adult man what you want. And we're living like roommates right now because I have completely shut down and I've been, you know, I'm just hurt and I just don't know. I feel like I'm just at a crossroad and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to make a financial mess.
Right. And you are at a crossroad and, you know, you already put some money in. It sounds like that's not the worst thing because you can get it back, but you are at a crossroad. When we're at a crossroad, that's when we, you know, it motivates us to go seek the help that we probably needed, you know, 3 years ago. But yeah, you got some flags happening. I wouldn't make too many decisions without getting the kind of wisdom and counsel from someone in your area. Luckily, where you live, you have, you know, there's great counselors in that area.
Right.
And great wisdom. And how's the relationship spiritually?
So he was raised, like, I guess, you know, I'm both a Christian. He went to, like, he was raised in a strict Christian school and everything, but I just think to myself sometimes, like, with his background of being religious and then behind closed doors, you would never believe that he was a religious person, because it's like, it's almost like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I just don't even know. I just don't know.
Right.
Yeah, Cindy, it sounds like there is a lot of uncertainty, and I'm so sorry. It is hurtful. And I hear you in a lot of ways over-functioning in this relationship, and that all of the good ideas and plans you guys have had, it feels like some of the plans have taken on almost a life of their own and have become a greater priority than kind of getting your relationship right. You know, selling your home and moving in with him, it makes sense financially, but I think emotionally and relationally doesn't 100% make sense because of men and women being wired differently. And if you have a reluctant man, well, like Jim was saying, the living together just makes him comfortable. So why should he have to move to the next level? I'm also hearing that his mom is in his ear a lot. Not a bad thing. It's okay for a mom to be close to a son. But is he more aligned with her than with you? And at 53, go ahead.
Not to interrupt you.
Sure.
They have an estranged relationship. He's very close to his father. It was a shock to me that the past 48 hours he did reach out to his mother when she refused to come to our wedding 2 years ago, which we don't even know why she refused to come to the wedding. She also wasn't really the best of mothers to him. He's very close with his father. So I don't know why he reached out to his mother.
And that's okay. I just didn't know what that was about. So are you married?
No, I'm not married.
So you had a wedding, but you're not married?
We're supposed to get married, and it just keeps getting pushed aside.
Got you. Okay.
Wow.
So I think anything that has to do with a house and moving forward that way really needs to be put on hold until you figure out, are we in this? And I sometimes you need to step back. I mean, I would even suggest you stop living together.
That's what I was going to say. What's keeping you from moving up?
Yeah, it's not maybe the most practical. And so that's why go ahead.
Yeah. I have my stuff. I have my house in storage. I have 2 storage units right now. And I'm tired. I want to put my house back together. I want to get my life back together. So either I'm going to get the home on my own.
And okay.
That's where I'm at right now because I can't go into an apartment. I have too much stuff, and I'm not going to part with my stuff. I'm 55.
Okay, but do you understand that that's the priority? And so this relationship is a vehicle to get you what you want, but the relationship isn't cooperating, and so you're frustrated. So if you want this house with or without him, go get the house. Don't include him. And then say, you know, when we figure out our relationship, then we can talk about joining forces with the house.
And I'm right to do that for myself, right? Like,
what?
Because this is not, I mean, well, it's okay for me to do that because this living situation is not good for me right now.
No, it's not good for you. And he's not sure, and you've invested 5.5, 6 years. And I think it's okay to say,
financially too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to say, you know what? I need to move forward because like what you just said to me, because this isn't good for me. I understand you're not sure. So you take the time to do what you need to do. In the meantime, I'm going to move forward for myself and give you the space to decide what you would like.
Right.
Yeah, that was good insight. And and again, I wouldn't play the movie forward. It's not working.
No.
So you got to play this movie forward, and you go on and on and on like this. It's still not going to work. I would at least make sure that you get some good, healthy, you know, counseling.
Yeah.
And then also, I would suggest strongly that if you guys did say separate for a bit, which is not a bad idea on this, you know, then you come back saying, I'm willing to not move back together, but I'm willing to get some counseling together and have the, you know, now you're working on that much more. I mean, like you're making decisions about a house. I mean, houses can come and go, and it's a bummer that your storage unit is 2 storage units are full, but you don't want to make a decision on a relationship based on, you know,
you're conflating the 2 issues. Yeah. I think you're getting them mixed up as if one is dependent on the other, and it's not. So we need to separate out those issues. And I agree, get in some counseling so you have someone to walk through this with you, because you have a lot of self-doubts and fears, right? And because it's also sad, like he may not come with you, and that would be really sad. But the way he would come with you right now doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound healthy,
no,
Cindy.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's too wishy-washy. So.
Yeah, he is, and he's kind of riding on your coattails and non-committal. Yeah, I think he needs to see that. Okay, you are going to move forward regardless, and that then he has to decide on his own. So he's got to step up and be a man or stay, you know, an ambivalent boy.
Cindy, thanks for calling in today. Stay on hold. We want to send you a couple of tip sheets that we have available. And anybody watching or listening, we can send these to you as well. 10 tips for healthy grieving and 12 steps to recovery from grief. Because you are grieving right now. The marriage that you thought you guys were going to have, you were going to have this beautiful home together and everything else. And it's just not working out the way you thought it would. This guy that you've been with for 6 years, what is going on here? We're not saying it's the end, but... man, this is just a, a very sad situation. And everybody watching and listening, if you could please pray for Cindy and, you know, that she'll perhaps have the courage to move out, get out on her own there. And we thank you for calling us today here at New Life Live. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment.
Here at New Life, we want you to have transformation. And so we have created the New Life courses, and you meet weekly on Zoom with a coach or counselor. You're going to have teaching as well as that group connection, because we know how powerful that is. We hear that all the time about our intensives, that they love the information, but the group process is so powerful. And many of you have been hesitant to participate because you're not sure, you know, the timing, the price. New Life courses are going to meet you right at that area of need. Every week you're meeting on Zoom with that therapist. You're going over the concepts as well as connecting as a group. It is so powerful, and it's accessible. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to join us.
Embark on your journey of personal growth and self-discovery in August with a New Life course. Lose It for Life, Take Your Life Back, or Healing is a Choice. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or online at newlife.com.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery, and one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
If you or someone you know is struggling, call Covenant Hills at 1-800-NO-ABUSE. That's 800-662-2873. They've also got a website that I'll tell you about in just a moment, but Covenant Hills, they've been around for over 30 years. They've helped men and women find lasting freedom from addiction through Christ-centered, clinically excellent care. With gender-specific programs, they offer residential treatment, day treatment, and ongoing support that heals the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Again, call 1-800-NO-ABUSE or visit the Covenant Hills website, covhills.com, covhills.com.
And fun fact, some of the starters of that program used to work for New Life.
Oh, nice.
20 years ago or more. Yeah.
Very good.
Actually, probably longer.
Longer. All right. Mm-hmm. To the phones, Tina, Louisville, Kentucky, listening or listens to the New Life Live podcast. Thanks for calling in today.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I want to say thank you guys for being on the air. I'm a longtime listener and longtime supporter. I wish I could do more. Because you all are so helpful.
Thank you for saying that, Tina. No, we're just
listening.
In what you
we're
said.
Listening. Yeah. Thank you, Tina.
Okay. My question is, I have been married for 43 years, and it's been hard. I'm just learning about attachment styles, and my husband's an avoider. I'm not sure what I am yet. 2 years ago, right before our anniversary, he told us there was nothing to celebrate and that he didn't love me anymore and that he didn't want a divorce and that we'd been living like brother and sister for so long. And I didn't think it was even that. I mean, we just kept busy and basically lived in the same house. But to hear those words that he didn't love me, I guess I felt it, but I wouldn't believe it until then. So the past 2 years have been devastating. And he came to a crisis point. He got into counseling. He's working on himself. I've been in counseling for a year with a counselor that I was in, actually, that New Life recommended several years ago. But my question is, I just, after 43 years and working so hard and trying so hard and being basically neglected emotionally, and haven't had a relationship in over 30 years. Is there any hope? I'm afraid to hope. I feel stuck. I just feel stuck. And what is there to hope for, you know? And now that he wants to work on it, I'm like, I don't know.
I wonder, Tina, you know, what part of you, without knowing, was okay with the complacency? And when you said you go ahead.
Oh, that's a great question. I used to really fight. And, you know, I would even try to start an argument just to get communication out of him. And at some point, I think I just thought, well, avoiding, which I never did, is easier. Mm-hmm. It's just easier.
Yeah. It's kind of, I always say, like, the person who wants the least, it feels like they win, because if you want more, you're not going to get it. They're satisfied with much less. And so, yeah, but I think with an avoider, and he sounds like an extreme avoider, what often happens is they hit the limits of their capacity for intimacy. So it's easy to say, I don't love you. But it's really, I don't know how to love you. Or, you know, being close feels uncomfortable, so it's easier just to shut down and to kind of reduce their life. And also often avoiders have a strong fear of their own feelings, of being exposed, of humiliation, and seem to be able to tolerate a lot less. And so that's why they avoid, because they can't even tolerate entertaining some of the feelings or the ideas. And two, that it, for men, I think in gem, it makes them feel incompetent in the emotional arena. I think the fact that, well, okay, he's older now. So he's naturally, as hormone levels change and shift, he's maybe having a little more emotion. But the fact that he's in therapy, Tina, is hopeful.
Yes.
That's hopeful. That, okay, you kind of picture your relationship. Yes, you've been busy. You've both been busy. And so it was easier for both of you to allow that to happen. So it's kind of dormant. But you were both still living your lives. Well, now it's time to kind of wake up a bit. And I get why that would be scary for you. Why am I going to even trust this guy who has been so neglectful? But I think it's realizing that there's a growth spurt in him that never was before, that was dormant. So this is a new aspect of him. And that is where there is hope.
Jim, any thoughts before the break?
No, I like the word dormant, and I think we have to make sure that, you know, you have a chance, if he's getting counseling, to reinvent the relationship, to reboot the relationship. But both of you got to be there. And when you're saying neglected for 30 years, 43 years of marriage, but 30 years of neglected relationship, that's tough.
Yeah.
Miracles happen every day. So if you want this, you'll lean into it. And you'd almost have to get remarried, you know what I mean? In terms of just saying, we're going to do it this way now. If he's willing to do that, it might change. There's hope.
You guys should come out to Intimacy and Marriage. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
We know that so many women are affected by betrayal, and yet they suffer in silence. And so we wanted to create a first step for women who have not yet begun the healing process. Maybe are kind of curious about, what does this have to do with me? After all, he's the one that did it, and why do I have to do anything? It's a great next step for you. You get an opening to what you can do to heal yourself. Whether or not the marriage is healed or the relationship is healed, we want you to know that there is help and there's a way forward. And so you can go to newlife.com/rescue.
Led by licensed counselor Laura Manchick McDonald, this four-hour gathering is being held on Saturday, August 1st. Get practical teaching and supportive connection to help you take your first steps toward healing. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com/rescue.
Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. Wouldn't you love to be part of a rescue team? Don't miss your opportunity to be part of something that changes lives every single day, because everyone matters. Your generosity helps find them. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/9941.
Join the mission, rescue the one, and restore the many.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So Tina and anyone else watching and listening, right before the break, I was talking about the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. The next one is happening the weekend of September 25th in Dallas, Texas, not too far from you there in Louisville, Kentucky. You can get all the details about it at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Jill, I think you had something else.
Yeah, well, and I think that would be great for them, mm-hmm. really. It's a good launch. I just, Tina, want to caution you. First of all, it would be totally understandable for you to have a lot of resentment. Mm-hmm. And suddenly your husband's waking up and wants to try. And it's like, what about the last 30 years where you've been suffering, you've had to carry the load, you've been neglected. So your resentment is legitimate. It is real. But if you stay in your resentment, mm-hmm. I don't think you'll get what you want. Mm-hmm. So you have a right to that resentment. And at some point, it would be good if he could hear how it felt to you. But I don't think he's there yet. Mm-hmm. And so you have a choice to make here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always say before freedom comes pain. And if you want some freedom in this marriage, then you'll have to work through the pain. The pain means, you know, you're getting your counseling, he's getting his counseling. Eventually, you're going to have to come together and mm-hmm. and say, what does it look like now? And like I was talking about in terms of reinventing, almost have a renewal of your vows to each other. It works sometimes. I know of a couple similar to yours, and I'll be honest with you, I really wondered if it was going to work. We had dinner with them last night. They're holding hands. They mm-hmm. had some other issues in terms of even some infidelity things. They are new people, and they have a new marriage because they both were willing to humble themselves and then work at a new relationship. So it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Love that. All right. Before we go to our next call, let me remind you that everything we do is because of the financial support that you provide for New Life Ministries. Thank you for whatever you can do, whether it's a one-time gift, a large gift, small gift. They all are great. And if you can become a 99 for the One partner, that would be awesome. It's our monthly support team that just on a monthly basis, they commit to whatever dollar amount you feel led. We're not going to tell you you know, give at least this much or whatever. I might say, you know, we're looking for 99 people to give $99.41. But that's just me speaking. But whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we would love if you would come alongside us and partner. You can get more details at newlife.com. You can text NLM to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Here's Ellen in Denver, Colorado, listens to us on newlife.com. Welcome, Ellen, to New Life Live.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. How can we help you?
I have called a couple of times, and I'm dropping off somebody right now, so if you can give me like 30 seconds, I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. It allows me to do a really quick commercial here that there is so much going on here at New Life Ministries, and that's why we'd love for you to sign up for the New Life Ministries newsletter. You can go to our website, newlife.com, sign up for the monthly newsletter. It lets you know what's going on in the future. We've got webinars coming up. We've got intensives. We've got, tomorrow is the Rescue online event for women. All the details about that are at newlife.com. Is that about 30 seconds?
I think so. Hopefully she's dropped her off and back.
Yeah.
That was perfect. Thank you so much.
Awesome. That's a first.
We aim to please.
Yes.
Well, it was my child, so I certainly did want to talk about this. I really resonate with the previous caller because I have a similar situation. I've been married for 20 years. 18 months ago, well, and there's three complications. Number one, we've been raising three special needs children for 17 out of those 20 years. And so now they're getting grown, but they're not getting gone. So, but 18 months ago, my husband started saying things like, I haven't been in love with you for 10 years.
Mm.
I'm like, really? And you came down here for 10 years? But then he wants to leave. He's not a Christian. I am. I'm dedicated to my children, and I have been giving my whole life to taking care of three special needs kids, so I don't have, like, an income or anything like that. And I just told him, no, we're not, you know, but even on Mother's Day, instead of saying Happy Mother's Day, he says, we're getting a divorce.
Oh.
So I have been devastated from one thing to the other. He said that his job had nothing to do with the family, as if the family was something disgusting. He made it clear that he still wants to do everything he can for the kids. He just doesn't want me. So he made it really personal. And on top of that, last thing I'm going to say, there hasn't been any intimacy for 16 years, because it was before the last kid was even born. And so I am devastated, but I don't want a divorce. I want to keep my family together. I don't want to traumatize these kids any more than they were. I am wondering, is there anything biblically speaking that would support the fact that I am not wanting a divorce? And, he just feels like I'm, you know, forcing him to stay. I said, well, you promised God.
Hmm.
You know, even though he's not a Christian, he recognizes, you didn't just promise me.
Yeah.
You promised God you were going to be the husband. And so, so far, things are just really rocky. We've been displaced from our home for a whole different set of situations. But my question to you is, can you comfort me or counsel me on am I wrong to just keep holding on to him, like, you know?
Dr. Jim, what would you say?
Can I ask you a question, Ellen? 16 years of no intimacy. Do you mean 16 years of no physical intimacy?
Physical, sexual, anything.
Yeah, no sexual intimacy at all.
Touch at all. Uh-huh. Touch at all. Actually, there is one bright spot. About 2 weeks ago, he did something horrendous, and when, you know, he couldn't apologize, I started doing this. Give me your hand, and I would pray.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 60 seconds of your time, and give me your hand. Mm-hmm. And he's not praying. He told me point blank, he's not praying, he's listening. Hallelujah, he's listening. He's going to hear some words.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance he's having... you know, an affair? Is there 16?
I don't know. It's a possibility, because he's distanced himself. Ever since that 18 months ago, he would do things like not come home except for 3 hours a day, every day. Even he'd say he's going to work, but he doesn't even work on the weekend. What do you mean you're going to work? And so it's a horrible, painful, neglectful situation to live in. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather that than to re-traumatize these kids any more than they are.
Right. And over the last 18 months, Ellen, okay, besides not coming home, which that's a big red flag, any other changes that you've noticed?
Oh, yeah. He bought me a car, cash down, but then the other car that has both of our names on it started disappearing.
Okay.
He was giving the car, and I asked him, well, where is the little car? It says, oh, well, one of my coworkers needed to go pick up somebody. Okay, that would be fine for the first day. But 6 weeks goes by, 6 months goes by, and this car just is gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, has he changed the way he dresses?
Yes, and he changed his way he looks. He has lost a lot of weight. He started working out. He's, you know, shaving when he never would care about his appearance.
Yeah.
Very upsetting, frustrating things. The problem is, I know him well enough that the no sex thing is not just me. When I met him, he was 35 and had never had a relationship. So, I don't think he has somebody else. I think he's more like one of my friends says, are you sure he's not a eunuch? And I'm like, no, he's not. But that was 20 years ago, and now we see 20 years of it will maybe change your mind.
Well, Ellen, some of the things you're mentioning, just so you know, would be red flags about an affair. So I know that's not what you want to hear, but sometimes somebody meets someone and then it kind of awakens something in them. And so you see these behaviors and changes, like caring about his physical appearance is a huge red flag. So I'm not saying 100%, but I just want you to be aware of that. And that's when he's saying that he hasn't loved you, which a lot of times people base that on a feeling. And remember, infatuation is like a drug. So it's like cocaine. So of course, compared to day in and day out living, it feels so different. And that's usually what they're basing that statement on. This feels different. This feels like love. No, this is like hormone surging. And so he's dismissing what you guys have had. So I know that doesn't answer your question.
Right.
100% here.
Well, we've got to go to break.
Yeah,
when we come, back. Maybe we'll continue our conversation and take some more phone calls here on New Life Live. Thanks for watching and listening today. We'll be right back.
My husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seems to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Washington, D.C., November 13th through the 15th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now.
I've had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be
is.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, Brian here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Jim Burns. Dr. Jim, any scriptures that come to mind for our caller here?
Yeah, that's actually, I know that's actually your question. And sometimes we look for scriptures that are, you know, point blank on this. I don't think there is. I mean, there are scriptures that say we have grounds for divorce if there's adultery. And I'm worried about you and your husband because I just sense, you know, he's made so many of these changes lately. I just wonder what he's up to. And that's something, you know, you want to look at. But as far as, I mean, yeah, there's scriptures that where we, you know, where we persevere, we fight for our relationships, on and on. But I don't think there's a specific scripture that says, you know, we must hold on. And again, I'm not a Bible scholar, but, you know, I mean, I went to seminary and whatnot. So, I mean, I have, and I believe in the Bible. But I don't really think there's something specific to your question. And again, maybe some of our listeners would disagree with me on that. But at the same time, I do think it's time for you to go, you know, make sure you're getting the help you need. He's in counseling. You said you're in counseling. Make sure you're getting the help. And I would suggest you talk to your pastor too, maybe about this. But
is he in counseling?
Yeah, he's in counseling too, right?
Hold on, let me bring her back on.
I think that was our last call.
Oh, okay. He's not in counseling, you're saying.
Yeah, that was the last.
I thought he was
in
counseling
too.
My apologies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's where there might be a good confrontation here where you're talking with him with somebody else and just simply go, I'm going back to you got to clear the deck on this to make sure that he's not, you know, in some kind of another relationship. Because that doesn't, when you're in an adulterous relationship, it doesn't work to build on your relationship. And I understand all the reasons and all the investment you've had with this man and your special needs children. I mean, you are amazing. However, you know, he's looking for a way out and you're looking for a way in, and somehow that's going to have to, you know, you're going to have to still spend a little bit more time, you know, figuring out what do we have, what is left of this relationship, especially because of the things you were saying about, you know, so many years of not, you know, of neglect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ellen, I think it makes sense to fight for your marriage, and that for yourself as a Christian, you do everything you can, knowing that you can't hold him there. You can't make him stay. And, you know, you're in Colorado. I don't know the laws there, but in California, one person can get a divorce without the other person's consent. So there is that. I love the fact that you're grabbing his hands and praying with him. I think it would be okay to say, I suspect you're having an affair.
Yes.
And so that is out in the open. So he's compromised the wedding vows. And you were talking about the scriptures. Yes, it talks about abandonment by an unbelieving spouse, and adultery are two reasons why people do get divorced, but doesn't mean you have to. I would also recommend Proverbs 4:5-7, because it talks about the immoral woman and what happens in life when you go into this down the steps of the house of an immoral woman. In an odd sort of way, when your husband is strained, that can be a comfort, that God's word warns against that. And
that might be good for him to read.
But Proverbs are good teaching, and I have seen that happen to people, the long-term effects of what those Proverbs say. So you're in a really tough spot. You have a hard life with these three children, And I'm so sorry you're in this position, and that instead of your husband wanting to work on the marriage, mm-hmm. he's found a drug outside of the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If everybody watching and listening can pray for yes. Ellen and her three kids, mm-hmm. right. and that her husband will just turn his life around and repent from what it is that he might be doing. And even if he's not having an affair, just that he'll turn around and be the husband and father that he's supposed
to
be.
We pray for the miracle. Yeah. We prepare for the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk to Kimberly in Spokane, Washington, who listens to us on Sirius XM Channel 131. Hello, Kimberly.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. And thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question regarding work. And my job, I was laid off on Friday, unexpectedly. I had been with the company for almost 4 years. My question for you is, when should I expect, or should I expect, a phone call from my immediate boss, who is also a Christian? He's not the one that laid me off, by the way. Just saying, you know, how are you doing? I know this has got to be a difficult time for you. I'm sorry this happened. It wasn't a job performance thing. It was a financial thing with the company. And to make matters even a little more complicated, I was the one who basically got him this job with this company that he's with. And he elevated to a superior over me, which is fine because I did not want the position because I was getting close to looking at retirement. And so I'm just wondering, you know, what's a good time frame to expect, or if I should even expect a phone call from him. I'm just, you know,
You're just talking about him calling you as a friend. Yes, not as friend, your boss, yes. But just calling
right.
as a friend.
You guys were exactly. You are friends.
Yes.
Yeah, because I wouldn't expect a boss necessarily to do that.
You were friends before he even got the job.
Yes, yes, exactly. I'm the one that helped him get the job.
Yeah, right. Well, I wonder if maybe he's not allowed to call. Maybe he's not allowed to, as her former boss, or I don't know.
There may be
this is a friendship thing. It's a forget the.
And did you remain friends after he got the job? Did you remain friends outside of work?
You know, it was one of, yes, I mean, we did, you know, I mean, we're Christians and we, you know, when we're having hard times, we call each other and we ask each other for prayer and, certain things like that. It wasn't a super close relationship. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was kind of arm's length. He suffers a lot, apparently with PTSD from being in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with some emotional connection. I don't know. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just wondering if it's reasonable to expect that or not.
It would be here's my thought on it, because it's just awkward. It becomes awkward for everybody. And would it be reasonable? Sure, it'd be great if he would call. Now, again, his superior may say don't call just because of the weirdness of, you know, the HR. Law and all that. You just don't know. I don't think it would be inappropriate for you to check in and just go, hey, I'd love to unpack this if it's possible with you. And have that conversation. You take the lead if he's not going to do it.
I actually did.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I got released last Friday, I gave him a call and he was very uncomfortable talking to me. He says this really makes me sick to my stomach and I'm just really sorry that, you know, about all of it. And he says, I'll give you a call and we don't have to talk about work. But he never, you know, he said, I'll give you a call.
Hasn't followed up.
Yeah. No. I mean, he gave you a little bit of a sign that he's feeling awkward in this whole thing. Time sometimes does heal that. And especially because you have a relationship from the past, but you may have to, you know, I know we're going to talk sometime. I really would like to get your insight on it. You know, is there a time in the next month that we could have that call again? You may get this and you may not. This is this is human nature. I mean, some people are good at having those kind of conversations. Nobody likes those conversations. He's in an awkward place. But, you know, if you force the issue, if you need to, you know,
well,
not
you might,
force it.
But. You might say, I don't want to put you in an awkward position.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize
right. But are you able to debrief with me as a friend?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. That's good advice.
Yeah, Kimberly, sorry that we couldn't spend more time with you. We've run out of time on today's episode of New Life Live. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you at church on Sunday and talk to you again on Monday here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.